So, Marcus, again, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for coming off a late night to getting up this early and talking with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
What were you looking for coming to last night's game, and what did you come away with? I'm sure no questions were really answered, but what were you looking for coming to this game, and what did you see?
Well, the biggest storyline, I think, was just their young receivers. I mean, this week at practice, Aaron Rodgers was clearly not happy. Flat out called the effort during scout team poor. I don't know. I don't know if I can say it on the airwaves. I think it's legal, but we all know what I'm talking about.
Right.
He's not pleased with the effort, and the receivers responded. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You look at the three rookie receivers they drafted. Each one of them made some plays. If you look at Jamon Moore, he had a relatively rough night, but Marquez Valdez-Scantling, the second receiver they drafted, he had a huge night. 5 catches, 100 yards, caught a touchdown. Equanimeous St. Brown, he made some plays as well. And, you know, talking to them in the locker room last night, it was like common question, you know, did that provide any extra motivation for you guys to come out and, you know, show what you can do or whatever? And it was more or less just like, no, I mean, really what it is just now we know what he demands. Like, we know what he's looking for. And if we're not giving him what he wants, we're not going to see the field. It's kind of more or less a wake-up call. But it's only one game. I know it's preseason, but I find it interesting. Just like 2 days after Aaron Rodgers makes comments to the media and it goes national news, you know, like Aaron Rodgers calls out his young receivers, they responded the way that they did.
Coming now, being down here in Bear Country, and I got into discussion with some people about that, and I think maybe it's more hopeful than anything else that they thought that was a horrible thing that Rodgers would do to rip, not necessarily rip on his guys, but rip on him in public, basically, you know, throw him under the bus in front of everybody. And I said, I think that's a good motivational tool. I don't have a big problem with it. I'm hoping that it might send a sense of urgency to these players if they are showing it in practice. And as you said, last night seems like that it did the job.
It really does, and I think it's important. He knows what he's doing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a guy, he doesn't do anything that he hasn't thought about. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he was doing and why he was doing it. I think when he said what he said, it's, you know, he kind of joked that he's older and he's grumpier now, but let's be real. I mean, that's kind of true. I mean, grumpy, maybe that's in jest, tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, but, I mean, he's in his mid-30s now. I don't know if he's going to play until he's 40 or 41, but I know he's not going to play until he's 50. I mean, you don't play football forever. The clock's ticking. You've got one Super Bowl. I don't have time. When we're in scout team and there's a piece of paper that says exactly the route that you're running, it is not rocket science. Don't screw it up. Do what you do. Aaron Rodgers, by saying, you know, he listed all the guys who are doing it the right way. And, you know, I don't know how many numbers he threw out there, like 7 jersey numbers. This guy's doing it the right way. That guy's doing it the right way. If Rodgers didn't say your jersey number, you're catching wind of that right across the locker room 5 minutes later.
Sure.
People are like, well, it's why Aaron just, you know, said this and that, whatever. Like, you better take note of that, because if you're not on Rodgers' good side, that's not a good thing.
The other thing that I was really anticipating watching, and it's kind of funny, as much as I couldn't wait to see what's going to happen or develop, but I hope it doesn't mean anything ever again, and that is the backup quarterback situation, meaning that no matter who wins that backup spot, I hope he never sees the field unless we're way ahead. But the Brett Hundley versus Deshaun Kizer situation, and last night made me smile, and it also scared me, because Hundley, I thought, looked really good. But we've seen this movie before a few years ago, how good Hundley looks in the preseason.
Yeah.
And we all see what it results in the regular season. So, but Kizer looked good too. I thought they were relatively equal, but I saw some really nice passes from Hundley, especially on the move in last night's game, and some good accuracy. So I thought, what'd you think of that battle? And I know it's just one game, one preseason game so far, so you can't make a lot of decisions at this point. But do you think Kizer has the edge, Hundley has the edge, and are we potentially getting fooled, or has Hundley grown?
I think Hundley has gotten better. It's interesting. I mean, when you trade a former first-round pick for anybody, like the Packers did with Demaryius Randall, bringing in Deshaun Kizer, it's like typically in almost any walk of life, I guess, if you think about it like this, if you have the incumbent and you have the challenger, typically to make a move, I mean, the incumbent is the favorite. Like, he's got everything. The challenger's got to be the one to prove that he's better. I mean, light years ahead of him, clearly, and you got to let go of the incumbent. The opposite is kind of true with Sean Kizer and Brett Hundley, I think, because you invested so heavily in Deshaun Kizer. You're trading away a former first-round pick in Demaryius Randall to bring in Kizer. You're basically saying, like, he's our backup quarterback, at the very least. You don't trade your number one corner without at least expecting Kizer to be your new backup. He's a guy you're not even expected to see the field. But I think Hundley certainly got better. He threw one of the best balls that I've ever seen him throw last night, down Davante Adams down the left sideline. So, I mean, that was a heck of a throw. Kizer had his moments as well. It's been kind of a quiet camp for Kizer overall. But, you know, I still think that Kizer's got to be the favorite. I mean, you don't make that move, trading away a player who they were already thin at corner, and they traded at the time their probably their best, most talented defensive back. They trade him away for a guy that you hope never sees the field. So I believe at the very least they got to expect that Deshaun Kizer is going to be the backup quarterback.
Well, what do you think about Kizer's potential, say, a couple years down the road after he's worked with the Packers coaches for a few years and gotten used to their system?
I think that he's got talent. I mean, he's a second-round pick. You know, he's just in his second year now. The thing about Kizer is I feel like nobody thought that Kizer should come in right away and play at 21 years old. But he did, because he got drafted by the Browns. And when you get drafted by the Browns and you're looking to your left, you're looking to your right, like, okay, what are you going to do? Start Cody Kessler? Like, okay, throw him to the Wolves. And sure enough, he took his lumps. 11 touchdowns, 22 picks. The numbers were atrocious. And Kizer didn't have a good year, except for the one game against the Packers defense. But that's another story. But, I mean, I think he's got more talent. He's a second-round pick. Packers clearly liked him in the draft. They had their eye on him. Hundley was a fifth-round guy, you know. Now he's going into his fourth year, but you're not. It doesn't matter, I guess, when you get drafted or how you get acquired, whether it's first round or undrafted free agent. But it's still indicative of the talent level of you. And I think that Deshaun Kizer is a second-round guy. He's got a lot of arm talent. He's just got to learn, but 22 years old or whatever, with 1 year, 15 starts under your belt, I still think the ceiling for Deshaun Kizer is, like, unknown, I guess. It's a question mark, but the ceiling, I think, is higher for Kizer than it is for Hundley because, again, he's played 3 years, and as a fifth-round pick, after 3 years, you got to think you kind of are what you are at this point.
Yeah, I agree on that part.
Marcus, one of the things I was looking for last night was the offensive tackle play between Murphy and Jason Spriggs. You know, everyone's trying to look to see if those guys can make that next leap as the backup tackles on the team. Did you see enough so far in last night's game and so far in training camp to feel confident with those guys going forward into the regular season?
No, in one word. I don't think that they have enough depth at offensive tackle. I mean, Byron Bell, I think that was a good under-the-radar move where it's like, you know, you bring in a veteran who's played left tackle, right tackle in both guard spots. Cool. But, I mean, let's say the Packers are in a situation in the regular season like they were last night, where David Bakhtiari sprained ankle, whatever, he's out. Or Brian Bulaga is out. He's still on his way back from ACL surgery. I mean, that's clearly the concern. I mean, McCarthy would be game planning to cover those guys up the best that he can. I mean, Kyle Murphy, he's been better than Jason Spriggs. Murphy was the sixth-round pick out of Stanford in the same draft that Spriggs was a second-round pick out of Indiana. But since they've been drafted a couple years ago, Murphy's no doubt been better than Spriggs. Unfortunately, that says more about Spriggs than it does about both of these. Spriggs just has not been up to the task. And Murphy hasn't been great either. I mean, when last year he started at left tackle for Bakhtiari against the Bengals, and they had Carl Lawson, who, I don't remember what he had, 4 sacks, something just absolutely ridiculous against the Packers, against Kyle Murphy. And he tends to struggle against those speed rushers. Last night, Harold Landry beat him off the edge like a drum right away. The second-round rookie out of Boston College just had his way with Kyle Murphy. So, you know, Brian Gutekunst was asked about the offensive tackle depth this past week. And, I mean, he put it pretty cool. I mean, you're never going to get a GM to flat out say, yeah, our backup offensive tackles are not good, and we got to do something about it. I don't like the guys we have. The GM's never going to say that, but he basically said, we haven't played a preseason game yet. We'll see. If we have to make a move, we will, which is about as close as a GM would get to saying, we are not good enough at that position.
Marcus, we're talking with Marcus Ebersol, WDUZ, the fan up in Green Bay. One last quickie question here. I don't know how quick it can be, but the other aspect of the Packers in this offseason, the big change and the big concern, of course, is the defense and the addition of now Mike Pettine to hopefully fix that defense. Again, one game, one preseason game, but that starting unit last night, and granted, there was no Nick Perry who was injured. There was no Clay Matthews, but I was a little disappointed in the D-line. I thought that the Titans ran pretty easily against that defensive front, which was supposed to be one of the big strengths of the team. And secondly, I still didn't see any kind of pass rush coming out of that defense. But by the same token, I'm sure Patton's not going to display anything special with any kind of blitz or special packages in a preseason game, so it was very vanilla. So what were your thoughts on the defense, and should we not panic yet?
I don't think you can panic. You just mentioned the word vanilla. I mean, that's exactly what it was. I mean, there's nothing to it. I mean, Mike Pettine didn't change anything. And I think the D-line, yeah, I mean, the Titans did kind of do what they wanted. Most of their first-team offense played. I mean, you saw their key players out there. Mariota got a little bit of time. Derrick Henry in their run game. I mean, they were – they haven't – the Titans have a new regime as well. I mean, Mike Vrabel's the new head coach. They've got a new offensive coordinator in Matt LaFleur. So I think they were trying to at least get something to feel good about early on. And they were kind of maybe, you know, trying to build that confidence and throw some stuff at the Packers. Meanwhile, Mike Pettine's like, forget it. You know, Mo Wilkerson was out. Mike Daniels was out. You know, Kenny Clark. They're just kind of like, why? What do we have to prove?
Sure.
When you're healthy, I got to imagine, if you have a three-man front, I don't know if there's a better three-man front in all of football than what the Packers are going to have this year with Mo Wilkerson, Kenny Clark, and Mike Daniels. There is so much talent there. It's ridiculous. I think Kenny Clark might be, he's one of the best players that nobody talks about in the league right now. I mean, what he's done in 2 years, he had an incredible year last year. And he's 22 years old. Crazy factoid, every time I think about Kenny Clark, he's younger than six of the Packers' 11 draft picks this year.
Sure.
And he's going to year three at 22 years old. So still young, but incredibly talented. And I do think that the defense will be better overall, first of all, just because of the new attitude and energy that Pettine's brought. But you did mention the pass rush, and there not being much of that last night. That's a concern. I would say if you look at the entire roster as a whole, next to maybe the depth at offensive tackle like we just talked about, I think edge rusher is a problem. I thought that they'd go out and spend an early pick on that position, maybe bring in some free agent help. Instead, it's going to be another year of hoping that Clay Matthews and Nick Perry stay healthy, and hopefully Vince Beagle and Reggie Gilbert can contribute. But that's really all they have, because I'm kind of done with Kyler Fackrell.